Want everybody to know it's almost quarter after. I'm getting in the pulpit late, so maybe short, but we're already pushed for time. Okay, quick question for you. How many of you are busy? We're all pretty busy, aren't we? Anybody laying around doing nothing? Call me, because I got some stuff for you to do. We're all pretty busy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you go there with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Sometimes we are like chickens with our heads cut off, right? Running around trying to keep up, and we have more time-saving devices than ever before, and we're busier and keep chasing our tail continuously, it seems. And I am convinced that that is not an accident. I am convinced that that is part of the warfare that we have to fight as Christians on the spiritual front, that if we can be kept busy doing things that aren't what we need to be focusing on, then the enemy wins. Here's the passage I want to jump off this morning, and I really want to spend this time focusing on one real theme, not a whole lot of deviations from it, because it's important enough that we ought to really put our minds to it. Verse 58. So we're 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Well, that's what we're going to be considering this morning. What is the work of the Lord? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us clarity. Help us, Lord, to understand this and be able to file it into our minds. We are a people who are busied about, for sure, sometimes even pushed around by the things that this life throws at us. And Lord, sometimes it's self-inflicted. Lord, there are so many things that are going on in our lives that are drawing us from what we could truly be doing. And so, Father, help this be a time of reset and, Lord, making sure we're scraping away those things that don't need to be there. So, Father, be with my mind. Help us. We share this morning. Holy Spirit, do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does it mean? You ever hear somebody say, it's kind of a common phrase out there, but, oh, they're doing the Lord's work. You ever hear that phrase? I've heard that. Somebody comes in, you know, hospice coming in and caring for a sick family member, and they'll say they're doing the Lord's work, or a nurse is doing the Lord's work, or something of that sort. I guess, who is the Lord? I need a little feedback. Anybody out there alive? Who is the Lord? Who is every knee going to bow and every tongue going to confess? Okay, Jesus is the Lord. So, really simple phrase, the work of the Lord is the work that the Lord was doing when he was here with us working, right? Wouldn't that be pretty, if you could look it up, there's not many times in the scripture that that phrase, the work of the Lord, is actually used. Now, I want this to be very carefully understood, because sometimes we can be busied about stuff that we as a society would like to file as the Lord's work. But is it really? Go to John chapter 4. Keep your finger here. Well, you can if you have easy enough to turn back. John chapter 4. The Lord says something very interesting here, and we know this story. If you know some of the chapters in John chapter 3 is Nicodemus, John chapter 4 is the woman at the well. John chapter 4, Jesus gets done with the woman at the well. He shows her that he's Messiah. She gets so excited, she believes, she runs into town, she begins telling everybody in town who he is. And the disciples, who had scooted into town to buy some grub, show back up again. And offer some food to Jesus, thinking he must be hungry, he's been out here all day, we went to get the food. And we're picking it up at verse 27. And it came, and upon this came the disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said unto him, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman left the water pot and went her way to the city, and saith to the men, come and see a man, or come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat that ye know not of. Therefore, I am having all kinds of trouble with these glasses this morning. Okay. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And verse 33. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. So we're helping to define the question this morning. What is the work of the Lord? So Jesus said, my daily need, what sustains me every day, is doing the work that he has sent me to do. Right? So this is Jesus' opinion on this. He says, he's given me a work. He's sent and given, you know, to do, and that is my daily necessity. My meat, what helps me survive, is doing that work. Okay, the work of the Lord. Turn, if you would, to John 17 while we're right here. John 17, love this passage. Jesus gets done. He's about to go out into the Garden of Gethsemane. This is his last night with the disciples. He is instituted the Lord's Supper for the first time. He's washed their feet. He's spoken to them about a lot of things that are going to happen in the near future with his crucifixion. And then he goes to the Lord in prayer. And he bows his head, and in front of the disciples, he prays this prayer. But this is an interesting thing. So Jesus was praying to the Father. And in verse 4 of chapter 17, Jesus says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. Now, so many times we go to the cross and Jesus says, it is finished. Okay, so we know that when he finishes the work of salvation to conquer sin and death forever for those who would believe, he says it's finished on the cross. But before he even gets there, he's here with the disciples and he tells God in this prayer that I finish the work that thou hast called me to do. Now, before we go any further into that, we're going to break that down a minute. I got a question I want to ask you. This, put your brains in gear for me this morning. Can someone who doesn't believe in the Lord be doing the work of the Lord? Because if the work of the Lord is a work that God has called that person to do, and the work of the Lord is something that thou, God, gavest me, can someone who doesn't believe in God, who doesn't understand that there's a God, actually be doing the work of the Lord? Now, peel your brain for a minute. The work of the Lord specifically is something that God has given a person to do. If that person doesn't believe in God, could God have given them something to do? Okay, now maybe they are carrying out and their life is going to function the way that God designed it to, but are they working for the Lord? No. See, there's my point. If I am out there mowing some random field just because I feel like it and find out this field it belongs to this person, I wasn't mowing it because I'm working for them. I was just doing it. Okay, now the field got mowed, that's true, and it's great that it got mowed, but am I working for that person? Unless I have ahead of time set up, you want me to mow this field? Yes, you own the field, you will set this up, this is what you want me to do, so now I'm working for you. If I just randomly go out there and do it without giving credit or checking with the person who owns the field in the first place, am I working for them? See, there's the key. Sometimes in this world, we'll like to qualify things as work of the Lord. So let me ask you a question. Here you go. I want to boil this down. If anyone can do it, then is it a work of the Lord? I.e., feeding the hungry. Is that a work of the Lord? Now, we're going to boil this down. So now you're starting to get into that place where I see it in your faces already. I don't want to answer this question because I know where this is direction. If a person who doesn't believe in God, who rejects God, who actually would curse God, can still go out and feed the hungry, then is feeding the hungry exclusively of the work of the Lord? No. How about building houses for humanity? How about hospice? Or how about opening an orphanage? If people who do not believe in God and do not serve Him can do those things, are they exclusively works of the Lord? No. Okay, so this is something that I want us to be understand, because in this world, we'll throw a lot of ideas out there that donating clothing to people who need it is a work of the Lord. Now, is it an amazing thing to do? Absolutely. Does God appreciate and Christians appreciate and children need an orphanage? Absolutely. But exclusively the work of the Lord. Did Jesus come here to start orphanages? Okay, was Jesus' purpose here to feed the hungry? No. Did he? Absolutely. But was that his reason why he was here? No. Okay, and this is where we need to be very careful with this, that when it talks about you and I abounding in the work of the Lord, that we make sure we understand what the work of the Lord is. So when Jesus is sitting in the upper room in chapter 17, where we are, with the disciples, and he's done all the things he's about to do with them, and he's about to go get crucified, and he's praying to the Father, and he's saying, Lord, in just the rest of this chapter, he says, I'm going to break it down, but he's talking about all the things, how he has been involved with these men that he's been given. That is the context of this chapter. Lord, you've given me these 12 men, and I finished the work that you've called me to do. All right? So I want us to be clear that what the work of the Lord is, and here it comes, drum roll, is discipleship. That's what Jesus came into this world to do. He came into this world to make disciples. What is our Great Commission? Go into this world and make disciples. Now, back up the train just for a second. If the work of the Lord then is making disciples, which we'll see, we'll break this down a little bit closer here in a minute, is opening an orphanage the work of the Lord? Can it be? Yes, it can be. Is feeding the hungry the work of the Lord? No, it can be, but it's not exclusively. Is running a karate studio the work of the Lord? No, but it can be. As a matter of fact, what is it that you do as a living? Don't you have to say it out loud, answer it in your head. What do you do? Is that the work of the Lord? No, but can it be? I don't think anybody would disagree that there's the parts of our lives and things that we do that cannot be part of going into the world and making disciples. But we have to qualify this as where it belongs. So there are a lot of people out there who consider the things that they're doing a work of the Lord, but I want you to understand what the work of the Lord is. Now, we can see this very clearly. Jesus defines it himself, which is awesome. I don't have to. Which we love God's word in that. Okay, so Jesus said, I have finished the work that you've called me to do. And so in this passage, we're going to see three things that he says, I have done. So he says, I've finished this work, and here's the things I have done to finish it. Okay, you with me so far? Real simple, but I want us to see it. Look at John chapter 17. Number one, verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Okay, so this is Jesus saying, I've finished the work. What I've done is, number one, I've manifested your name to those folks. You know what this is? Okay, you want a nice, clean word for this? It's evangelism. I've gone out to the world, and I've told people about who you are. You with me so far? Come on, somebody nod. Okay, this is so important, guys. Really, if if we don't get this, we might as well lock the doors and never come back. And that's how important this is, that we understand this, because our goal, our job as Christians on this planet is to go and make disciples. So the work that Jesus did was, number one, he went out and he manifested. When you manifest something, what does that mean? You spread it out, you show it to everybody, okay? I went out and showed, I manifested your name. That's what this is talking about. That's what you and I are supposed to do. We're supposed to go out into this world and manifest his name. That is going to reach people with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's just the beginning. That's starting discipleship. Okay, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every single one of us need to be out there manifesting it. So that's what he says, number one. Now, I have finished the work. What is the work? Number one, I have manifested your name. I've gone out and evangelized and told people about who you are and the plan. Look at verse 8. I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. So Jesus said, first thing I did is I went out and manifested your name. That was the work. I have given unto them the word that you've given to me. So the next part of this is the nice ease here, right? We're edifying, we're building people up. Taking that word of God and helping people to grow. Isn't that what we've been talking about? That our goal is restore people into the lost image that they lost, and then to train them and grow them up. Acts chapter 20, this is a pretty neat verse. Acts chapter 20, you can keep your finger here, we'll be back in a second. Paul says something pretty cool. Many of us for years have had this desire in our lives to lead somebody to the Lord, haven't you? I mean, I really want to lead somebody to the Lord. I've been working so hard every time, you know. I'm meeting with this person for years, and I've talked to them, sharing the Lord. I'm trying my best, and, you know, the Apostle Paul says it many times that we labor over people. You know, you ever do that? You ever feel like you're doing that? Lord, I'm trying my best, man, and whew, hallelujah. Listen to what Paul says here in verse 21. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. He says, am I in the right verse? 32, that's why it doesn't look right. Read the wrong part of my notes. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Sorry, wrong verse. I'll be there in a minute. Okay, I'm reading my notes in backwards. Okay, but you see what it says? I have commended you to the word to build you up. It's the same thing Jesus is saying. He says, listen, I have given them thy word, Lord. That's what I've done. Now, with that in mind, Galatians chapter 4, that's the one I really wanted. Galatians chapter 4, and you say, sure, I believe it when I see it. Galatians chapter 4, same thing. The Apostle Paul said, man, it's hard work to do this, but listen to what he says, 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He said, you know what? He said, I labored and travailed to make sure you got saved. It was hard work, like in the pains of childbirth. How many of you have read that in the Bible before? That many times it says it's like giving birth to somebody. Being born again is an effort. He says, I labored and tried again. So not just that you're a believer, but now that Christ is formed in you. So, I'm already losing some of you. Stay with me. Father's Day, there's a picnic or a barbecue going on somewhere. I know it. But stay with me. I promise I'll be done fast. The work of the Lord so far, according to Jesus, is manifesting his name and sharing the word of God with the people who God has put us in an influence position with, right? So, does that mean that building Habitat for Humanity houses is the work of the Lord? Can be, but it's not exclusively. Feeding the hungry, clothing. It can be, but it's not exclusively. The thing that makes it the work of the Lord is, number one, if you're sharing God's word, manifesting who Jesus is and witnessing, evangelism. Number two, if you're sharing the word of God with those people you have an influence over, that's the work of the Lord. Number three, third and final, look at verse 18. We're in John chapter 17 again. And he says, as thou hast sent me unto the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Jesus has a three-point outline of what the work he finished, the work of the Lord. He said, I led people to the Lord, I manifested your name, I trained them up, and then I sent them out. You with me? We're almost at the end. If we went to John chapter 20, Jesus said, Lord, you sent me, even so send I you. The verse we started with. So the question that I have for you and me is, are we doing the work of the Lord? Well, yeah, I give money to charity. Does that qualify? Well, you know, last month I had some old clothes in the cupboard that I donated to you know, put it down to the Salvation Army little box down there in town. Does that count? So, first question I asked you, remember what it was? Are you busy? Are you? I am. And I saw just about everybody's hand. What are you busy doing? But you don't understand, there's a lot of my things in my life that I'm doing that are important. Are you abounding in the work of the Lord? Now listen, I'd love to see more people here at church, but that's not what this is about. I'm not looking for a boost in attendance. That would be fantastic. But I don't want to be standing before my Jesus someday and saying, I had a work for you to do, and you were doing everything else but. But you don't understand. I went out and I worked at the soup kitchen. I donated food to the chair, to the pantry. And those things are not the work of the Lord. There's a lot of people out there in religious, big air quotes, religious circles who will say that. But if you are not taking the name of God, manifesting it to the people, training those people up in the Word of God that they can grow up to be what God wants them to be, and then sending them out to do the same thing, then that's not the work of the Lord. You with me so far? Did y'all see Jesus say that? The work of the Lord that Jesus did, I finished the work, I have manifested your name, I've taken the Word of God and taught them, and now I've sent them out to do the same thing. That's the work of the Lord that Jesus said. Now, I'm telling you guys, the devil knows how to keep us off track. He knows how to have us spinning our wheels. He knows how to have us chasing our tails. And we could fill up our daily schedule with so many things. And again, are they good things? Absolutely. Feeding the hungry is great. Providing for your family is great. Having some fun is great. All, you know, having a hobby. I'm not saying don't do that. Please. But we have to make sure that we file in our minds what is the thing that we ought to be doing most in this life. And that is the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. One example real quick, and to just remind of the story, and Harley actually reminded me of this a couple weeks back. After the crucifixion, Peter, because he was feeling a little guilty about how things happened and everything, and wasn't sure exactly what direction everything his life was going in, winds up going back to fishing. You remember the story? And they're out there fishing, and Jesus comes to the shore, and he makes a meal, and he calls them in, and, you know, does the miracle. And then he's sitting with Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Okay? And three times he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, of course, Lord, I love you. Now, Harley and I were talking, it's interesting that they use different words. Jesus says, do you agape me? Do you love me with the highest form of love? And Peter's response is, yes, Lord, I phileo you. I brotherly love you. And he does it again. Do you love me? Agape love? And Peter says, I brotherly love you. Finally, Jesus says, do you brotherly love me? And Peter says, oh, for crying out loud, Lord, you know me. I brotherly love you. And his response to Peter went back to his old life, right? He was a great fisherman. Jesus' response is, feed my sheep. Now, something interesting, because I was doing a little research for Harley, because he had put a thought in my brain. The word for feed is different in that. First of all, feed meaning provide fodder, what you and I are looking forward to doing here in a little bit for Father's Day, not Father's Day. Ha-ha, Father. Anyway, that was a Derek pun, and he's not even here. Okay, wait a second. I got to take one commercial break here and brag on Derek just a minute. Dan taught in chapter 1 of Exodus this morning in Sunday school, and it was about the midwives who were resisting Pharaoh's command to kill the babies, right? Derek comes up afterwards and says, does that mean Pharaoh was having a midwife crisis? If you want a pun, see Derek. He's really good at them. Anyway, this word here for feed my sheep means, yes, nourish them up. But Jesus doesn't stay with that word. It's bosko, the first word. He goes to another word that means shepherd my flock. Shepherd my sheep. It's the same word that we get the word pastor from. He says, Peter, you know, you're back to your old job, your old life, just the way things were before. You're out here fishing. You know, that's fine and dandy. But I'm not satisfied with that. Do you really love me? Okay, not even the highest love. Do you just brotherly love me? Then get out there and pastor. Get out there and shepherd my people. They say, who's my sheep? We can go into that. Remember Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, they know me. That if they don't believe that they're not his sheep, we're talking about caring for God's people. That's the story. When Jesus pinned him down right at the end of John, just before the book of John ends, he says, Peter, I'm not satisfied with you just being busy about your old life. You have a job. Feed my sheep. Get out there and share the word of God. Disciple someone. So the question, and I'm done. Are you always abounding in the work of the Lord? There's a lot of things we can be involved in, but please make sure no matter what it is that you are doing, that you are doing the work of the Lord. You could tag the work of the Lord onto every single thing in your life. You want to know a great example of this? And I can pick on her because she's not here this morning. Helen, you know what? She can be in the hospital getting prepped for surgery for a perforated bowel and be doing the work of the Lord. Matt and Lynn, Matt could be standing on third base coaching the little league kids. Okay, watching them try not to hit each other with pitches and be doing the work of the Lord. You could be in your cubicle. You can be at the grocery store. You can be wherever you are doing what you are doing. And you can choose to be abounding in the work of the Lord, or you can choose not. If we're not careful, you understand, what was Jesus' work in this life? I mean, his real employment job. He's a carpenter. Yeah, I was a carpenter. Jake, you were a carpenter, right? That means I was truly in all points doing the work of the Lord because I was a carpenter. See, if we boil it down to a physical activity or something that's occupying our time like that, then we got to be real careful. Well, you know, I am treating people fairly with an even hand and accepting them with their life behavior. You know, I don't care what it is you think you're doing. And I don't mean us as a church, I just mean people in general will qualify what they're doing as the Lord's work. Listen, if it does not entail evangelizing, I didn't use the other E, evangelizing, edifying, and equipping, because you want people to be sent out, then we're blowing it, guys. So please, go out and have a great Father's Day and do the work of the Lord. And tomorrow, when you get back to the back to work and what you're doing, go to work and do the work of the Lord. Or if you're going to be somewhere sitting in an air conditioning because it's going to be 98 degrees tomorrow, wherever it is, do the work of the Lord. You with me, guys? Please. I want to get the well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that doesn't happen by putting food in people's mouths, putting clothes on people's backs, putting a roof over people's heads. It happens when we do the work of the Lord, when we are leading people to Christ, training them, and sending them out. That's his work. Be abounding in it. Amen. Father, we thank you. Lord, I pray you would beat this into my brain. I know it, but Lord, my life schedule, the busyness, everything that rolls around in our daily walk, there are so many things that could keep us from, because sometimes, Lord, we want to compartmentalize this. We want to think that evangelism and teaching the Word of God and sharing our Christian walk with somebody is done between a certain time period in our day. No, no, no. Father, I can do the work of the Lord every moment of every day. If I am with another human being, I have the potential to manifest your name. I have a potential of sharing the Word of God with them. I have a potential of equipping them to send them out to do the same kind of work. Lord, as long as there's still breath in us, I thank you, Father, that not only did you send your Son to die on the cross for us to finish the work of salvation, but Father, he also came here and he finished the work of discipling and training up a legacy. Father, please help us to do the work of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.